When I speak with artists, writers, and filmmakers, I often ask them who their influences were. Well, French director Bertrand Tavernier has answered that question before I even had a chance to ask, with a very personal film called My Journey Through French Cinema, in which he shows scenes from his favorite films and talks about how filmmakers like Jacques Becker, Jean Renoir, Marcel Carnet, and others have influenced his work. It opens tomorrow at the Quad Cinema. It's my great pleasure to welcome Bertrand Tavernier back to our show. Welcome back. Bonjour.
Bonjour.
You open the film with a quote from Jean-Luc Godard, in which he says that you're both children of the liberation and the cinematheque.
Yeah. Yes, I love that quote. Suddenly the Godard was saying that, because what we do, we are doing very different film, and he said we were united by something, somewhere the same love of the cinema and the same experience, the war, and the cinematic.
Well, the aftermath of the war, suddenly this burst of incredible filmmaking in France after
yes.
the war.
Yes.
And then the Cinematheque allowed people in France to see films that they might not have seen otherwise.
Yes, yes. Sometimes the way it was handled was a bit crazy and erratic, but I discovered so many films there.
You talk about your earliest memories from 1944 when you were 3 years old.
Six.
What happened and how did that affect you?
I was sent into, sanatorium.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that
you had an eye infection?
I had tuberculosis, oh. TB. And there they were showing films, and I remember very well some images and some scenes from one of the films I saw when I was six, and those images stayed with me, and I did not know, of course, at six, the name of the director. It took me many years before discovering that the film was directed by Jacques Becker, that it was a film called Dernier Atout, his first film, shot in 1942, and that, so the first film which impressed me was directed by one of the greatest French filmmakers.
And you pay tribute to him in this film.
Yeah.
He's not as well known as Jean Renoir, Marcel Carnet.
Yeah. I think it's a shame.
Is it a bit ironic because, as you point out, Becker was very influenced by Hollywood films, especially by directors like Howard Hawks?
By Hawks, by Lubitsch, and but by many directors, by Henri Hathaway. He talked sometimes of Henry, the style of Henri Hathaway, the very precise style of Hathaway. He was influenced, and he got many things from the American film, but his film were very, very French. They were rooted in the French society. They talk about some period at the liberation, just the liberation, the 1946-7 in Antoine and Antoinette, as nobody did. And many, he had a way of understanding a milieu, the job, the peasants in Goupy-Main Rouge, the people who work in the fashion store, like in Falbala. I think he was incredible. For me, he's the one who, after the war, was the most consistent. He never made a bad film outside of Ali Baba, which he had to do in order to all his films.
Well, what would you recommend? Casque d'Or?
I would recommend Casque d'Or. I would recommend Le Trou. I would recommend his comedies, which I know there, Edouard and Caroline, which is very, very funny. I would recommend Falbala, that Jean-Paul Gaultier, the great designer, said that it because of that film that he became what he became. And he sees the film every year, Jean-Paul Gaultier, and the film makes him cry every time he sees it.
Unfortunately, we can't see those films every year. We have to rely on certain presenters to bring them back. Another director who was influenced by Hollywood is the one who gave you your first job, Jean-Pierre Melville.
Yeah.
One of the giants of French cinema. So you were starting at the top?
I was starting at the top. I was very young at the time. He gave me my first job, and he made my life miserable because he was so tough on the set, so tyrannical, that I was every morning I arrived with my heart beating. I thought I was going to school to a mathematics class, I mean, which something I was very bad at it, and I knew I was going to be nailed by Melville for a mistake I'd done. That was horrible.
You say he told you that you were a lousy assistant.
Yes, he told me. So he said, don't expect to have a future. You are a very bad assistant. He was right. He was right. But at the same time, he introduced me to his producer, Georges de Bourga, and he said, Bertrand will be very good at defending the film. So I was high. I was fired by him and hired by Georges de Bourga, and became the press agent of Godard, of Agnès Varda, of Chabrol, of many directors belonging to the New Wave.
When you were working for Melville, were you learning from him about
Yes.
technical aspects of filmmaking?
First, I was learning. I think I learned one thing, it's that I would never behave like him on the set. Never. That was my greatest thing I learned from him. But I learned also his approach to filmmaking, the way he was with nothing, two walls. I mean, not building a whole set, he was able to do some marvelous shot in a very economical way. He was an incredibly economical director.
And you worked on one of his greatest films, Léon Morin, Priest,
yes.
with Jean-Paul Belmondo.
I think it's one of his masterpieces.
So
yes.
working with a director like that, did that allow you to analyze the films that you were later representing and decide
analyze,
what worked and what didn't?
Analyze, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I was able, if I was bright enough to analyze, but I was learning. I was learning, and I learned many things from Melville, but then from all the other people I work with when I became a press agent, where I was able to come on the set of Godard, of Chabrol, go in the editing room, see how the films were edited.
And all of those directors, great French filmmakers, were influenced by Hollywood. On the other hand, we have Jean Renoir, who you do a lot about on this film. He went to Hollywood and made films.
Yeah, and most of the films he made are not the best. That he made outside of the Southerner.
I love the Southerner.
Yeah, and the two-thirds of Diary of a Chambermaid. But the one he made with Charlton is very bad. And I think Swampwater is it's not a personal film at all.
But what do you think that connection was? There were some pretty great French films before the war. Why did Hollywood suddenly have such an impact on the younger filmmakers?
I mean, in the case of Duvivier, René Clair, Ophuls, they were escaping Nazism. I mean, in the case of some Jewish director, or like Duvivier, married to a Jewish woman, he could not survive in France. In the case of...
And when he came back, he was criticized for being too American.
No, he was criticized for having left France, having deserted. It was horrible the way René Clair and Duvivier were received in France, as it had been deserted. They had not been. They escaped the Vichy regime. They were stars in France, and they came to Hollywood where they... For Duvivier, it was tough. He became a studio director with less power than he had in front. And the letter he wrote, it says, my life is boring in Hollywood. I hate to be there. And he was underlining that. But so they were not attracted by Hollywood. Max Ophuls came back, but Max Ophuls was Jewish. I mean, he would have been sent to in concentration camp if
he made some great films in Hollywood.
Yeah, yes, he made Letter from an Unknown Woman, which is one of his masterpieces. Yeah.
I'm speaking with Bertrand Tavernier. His latest film is not a feature film of the usual sort. It is a fairly long documentary called My Journey Through French Cinema, which opens tomorrow at the Quad Cinema. One of the
It's long, but I hope that the time goes fast.
You have no other choice if you're going to put all of those excerpts from films in. And talk about directors. Yeah. Many of our listeners may not be aware of these names, but they have been shown in this country. But I've never seen Edmond T. Greville before I saw your film. Why is he a favorite of yours?
He was one of my great friend, and he was completely marginal. He was a maverick in the French. He did a few very good films, very personal. Most of his films are dealing with sex, with voyeurism. He made Remous in 1933, which is the first film about somebody becoming sexually impotent. That was a very, very daring theme. I don't see any film in Hollywood touching that.
And no, we had a code.
And the film is full of compassion. And Greville is one of those directors who became directors because of their love for the cinema. He adored Ström. He adored King Vidor. He adored a lot of filmmakers and actress of the silent era.
Unfortunately, he died young.
Yeah, he died rather young after, and I love him. He was one of my great friends, even that he was completely broke, and me, I was only a student. I was sometimes paying him a lunch or a dinner.
Now, you devote a fair amount of time to two of the absolute greats of French cinema, Jean Renoir. Some people may remember him as the son of the painter Auguste Renoir, but I think of Auguste Renoir as the father of the great French filmmaker Jean Renoir. He made Le Grand Illusion, he made Rules of the Game, and many other great films.
Then
Jean Gabin, actor.
Tony, it's an underrated film in this country.
T-O-N-I.
It's a film about immigrants. It's a very timely question now that when you see the film. It's about people who come trying to work coming from a foreign country, and they try to work there. It's a beautiful film. And he made Le Crime de Monsieur Lange, which I think is one of his masterpieces, written by Jacques Prévert.
So what was his strength as a director?
I think he was researching a lot of things. He was experimenting. He was breaking some of the rules, like in the way the camera was moving, in the way that he had group of people talking, the dialogue overlapping. Forgetting that there was one way of shooting. For him, he was trying long takes, very complicated shot, and some of his, for instance, his collective scenes, dinner, are anticipating on Robert Altman, on people like that, who love to experiment with dialogue, and giving a feeling of reality, which is incredible.
You imply that some directors are more interested in working with actors, others are more likely to concentrate on technical aspects of filmmaking, getting the right shot, the right lighting, the editing process, getting that dolly to move just right.
Yeah.
Which do you think is more important?
I think both are. That depends on the personality of the director. Carnet is more somebody who is interested by the visual side. Renoir, for him, the movement of a shot, the dynamics of a shot was more interesting even than the visual, than to have everything perfect. He did not care if there was a technical mistake, providing it sounds true, it sounds interesting.
You focus on the actor Jean Gabin, who said that Renoir taught him to act. Mm-hmm. What made him so great? He was able to play so many different kinds of characters from different walks of life.
Because he was interested by everything. He had a way of getting into, a story and absorbing things.
And he didn't have movie star looks, but he has a lot of charisma.
Yeah, he had a lot of charisma. He had a way. He was working in a very different way than the other director. He was not yelling. He was nice. He was always complimenting everybody. You're great. You're superb. The take is wonderful. I think it's so good that we should do another one. But not when the other were yeller. They were yelling. They were. But Renoir was nice, warm, making you think that he was your best friend, which was not always true.
We can't get to all the other things here. You also single out for praise Eddie Constantine, who was an American
who
played tough guys French movies.
Lémy Cochon. He played Lémy Cochon, and he allowed. He did a film called Ça va barder, and he allowed the director, John Berry, who was blacklisted, to sign the film. And breaking, that was the first film we broke the taboo of the blacklist.
We have to leave it here. We can't talk about music and all the other things you talk about. But people can see this film. Various films that Bertrand Tavernier mentions in his film will be shown at the Quad as well from tonight onward, and he'll be introducing them and taking questions. For all the information, go to our show page at WNYC.org.